The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'd like to begin with you today by opening up your Bible to Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 22. There we read, Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Many will seek to enter into the kingdom of God, and they will not be able, he says. A narrow door. Like he says in Matthew chapter 7, he says, yes, strive to enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. So what is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about the gate into heaven, into the kingdom and the world to come is narrow, and the way to it is very hard. It's not easy. These are hard things to obtain, says our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, only a few out of the great multitude of the world find it and enter by it. And so today I'd like to look with you at that narrow gate and that hard way that has been set before us. And also I want to ask, can we have a certainty in life that we actually will live beyond the grave? Can we be sure that we are saved? Can we have confidence that we will live forever and therefore live without the fear of death throughout the rest of our lives? Let's look and see what God would teach us about this today in his holy word. What's God tell us? First, he says to us, it's a good question that you ask here, how to obtain eternal life in the narrow gate, because you live in a world where most people never face that question. The world's theme is actually found in the Bible, I believe. The world's theme is, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Party it up, have fun. You only go around once, and what comes afterwards we won't even think about. Who knows? The world also says that entrance into heaven, there are many gates into the kingdom of God, and the way there is easy. We get there by simply expiring, and we'll go to a better place. Everybody automatically goes to heaven when they die. God says to such speaking, fools, no, the gate is narrow, and the way is very hard that enters into life. You must strive for it, says our Lord God. And also, it's all that much more important to us because our days are numbered. In fact, the Bible and life teaches us that life is actually short. Psalm 90, it says the years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength, 80, but their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone, and we fly away. Our days on this earth are indeed short, and we have a very limited amount of time to find the narrow gate and to enter in by it. And not only so, but we don't even know how much longer we have. Maybe 70 or 80 you'll live to or beyond a little, but who knows whether you'll not be cut off even today. James says in his letter, don't boast about tomorrow. What's your life? You're just a mist. It appears for a little while and then vanishes. I'm looking on a congregation of mist, vapor, and smoke, and you're looking at someone who's preaching to you, who's but mist. Our days are quick, and your end may be coming faster than you know and that you think or expect. And so God wants us to be prepared. A man at the marina, a friend of mine who's up there in years, has joked that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end of it, the faster comes out the roll. Can any of you in your elderly years say amen to that? Amen. Our days are numbered. And that area, that time when we can find and enter by the narrow gate is short. We need to strive to enter by it. And the way is hard, says Jesus. And I'll also let you know, there is but one gate. And there's but one way. There's what? One door to heaven, one narrow door. We need to strive to enter by it. Years ago, when I was in Haiti, in the early 90s, I went there on a mission trip for 14 days, but the mission trip ended up being, 10 days, but it ended up being 14 because there was a coup d'etat. The head of the secret police, General LaFontaine, took over the government, rolled his tanks into the palace. There were killings and murders on the streets and burnings of people. And I heard a bomb once go off, and I was there in the city at the time. And I decided at that moment it was time to get home to the land of the free, where I can live and get out of this death pit. Well, the airport was about to be closed down, and we, through very much difficulty, found a ticket on the last plane heading out. And we got even all the way to the very gate where you're ready to enter, go through a door, walk across the tarmac and get onto the plane. And there I stood 10 feet from the door. But it turned out that a lot of the rich Haitians had made fake boarding passes, and now there were not enough seats on the plane. There were only 5 left, and there were 4 of us. And so there I was. It was 10 feet away, this one narrow door leading to life and to my country and to my home, and I couldn't get to it. It was a hard way and a narrow way, and that was the only way. And God says, such is entering into heaven. The world is a fool for thinking that there are multiple gates and easy is the way. No, broad is the way to destruction. There's one gate. It's very small, very narrow, but there is a way, says God, and you must strive for it. Jesus warned the Jews, I'm going away, and you're going to seek me, and you're going to die in your sin, because where I'm going, you cannot come. It's hard to get to heaven, and it's a very narrow gate, says the Lord, to enter into that blessed city and the kingdom to come. But why? Why is the way hard to heaven? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, just like when I was in Haiti, there was a great pandemonium, chaos, yelling, riotous crowd between me and the door. In the same way, between us and the gate of heaven, there is the world. And the world ridicules you for following Christ, persecutes you, and it is a hard way to go a buck against the currents of the world. Also, the Bible tells us that there is a mighty angel who stands in his way with many other mighty angels in his army to guard and keep you from the way by entering that door. His name is the devil. And in Peter calls him a roaring lion. John in Revelation calls him a great red dragon. And he stands even in the way of Christians to try to bar us and stand in our way against us, reaching the gates into the city. Therefore, the way is hard. But it's especially hard because of sin. Sin bars the way to heaven, because you cannot enter into heaven with your sins still upon you. Heaven is a holy city, a holy place, a great kingdom of the great God, who is a holy God. And Paul has told us in the Bible that every one of us are all under the power of sin. Not one of us is righteous. No, not one. Am I looking at a congregation of people who've sinned before the Lord? Sure, you're looking at a guy who's preaching who has sinned before the Lord. If our sins remain on us, it binds and bars and locks heaven to us so that we cannot enter. Therefore, the way is hard and narrow. We need to remember the end result, the reward, the finishing product of sin is death. That's a serious word God gives to the world. When Adam was to the eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He wasn't kidding. The wages of sin is death, says Paul. And again, Jesus warned the Jews, I'm going away, and you'll seek me, and you're going to die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. It is a hard way to heaven, and it is a narrow, narrow gate. Very small, says Jesus. But then, on this good Easter morning, this beautiful day, we celebrate. Is there hope? And I tell you, yes, amen, absolutely. There is a gate, though narrow, yet there is one, and it's open. It's open this morning, and it's to be taken this morning. Jesus says, where I'm going, you can't come. The Jews said, will he kill himself since he says these things? Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will. You will die in your sins, unless you believe that I am he, And I declare to you right this morning, as God's commissioned spokesman, that that way is a person, a man, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the door. And if anyone would enter by me, he will be saved. Amen. This is a great thing. We're celebrating, refreshing ourselves in today. My goodness, we have the hope of eternal life to enter that shining city by Jesus Christ. Now, how has he done it? How has Jesus opened the kingdom? How is he the gate? How is he the way? Well, sin, as you know, bars heaven to us like a big lock, a chain. We can't get in with sins on us. We need someone to take our sins away, to be a sin bearer. And he must be sinless himself to be able to die as a sacrifice. And you can just picture God up there in heaven, far up above all the firmament of the skies, up there on his throne, the great king. And he says to his son, the prince of peace, someone needs to go and save them. Son, I send you. Yes, Father, I go, says Jesus. I want to save them too. And Jesus came and he lived that perfect life. And so he could die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross to remove that barrier, to open the door, the gate, into the city, into heaven, into the kingdom forever. In baseball, you have a sacrifice bunt. That's where you lay down the ball intending to get yourself thrown out, to die at first base, if you will, in order to advance the other runners around that they may score and come home. Well, Jesus, friends, laid down his life for us at the cross, bearing all of our sins away in order that as a sacrifice we might be advanced as runners and come all the way home and score and come to home plate into heaven. This is what Jesus has done. He died for our sins. And I'd challenge you right now. Who else are you going to find in the world to do this for you, to open heaven like this? Muhammad didn't bear anybody's sins. Confucius didn't bear any sins. Buddha didn't bear anybody's sins. Jesus only. And that's why the way into heaven is a very narrow gate. There's only one. And it's very small, but it is one, and it is great, and it's open, and it's Jesus. He bore our sins. And the Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I declare that name is Jesus. Call on it today. If you haven't, I know you'll have, but if you haven't, do it. After his death, what happened? God showed his victory over sin and death. He rose. Jesus rose from the dead. And Peter says, they put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up. And on the third day, made him manifest, not to everybody, but to us who were chosen to be his witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he was raised from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, as I'm doing now, and to testify that he's the one ordained by God the Father to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets, all of the scriptures testify that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Have you believed in Jesus Christ today? I know most of you. Praise be to God, I believe you have. If you haven't, if I don't know you and you've never believed in Jesus Christ, today is the day. The hour is growing late. It's short. There's only a little tiny window to find the door, and the door is Jesus. Repent and call in his name, and you will be saved, says God. And Jesus gave us these great words, like he is the judge, and he says, truly I say to you, everyone who hears my words and believes him who sent me, that person will have and has eternal life. He will not come into judgment, but he's passed out of death into life. Do you realize that is the word of the judge saying, I will acquit you and you will be free, believing on me? And he said, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. God is for you. He's not against you. Live, says the Lord. Turn to me and live. Enter by the gate of my Son. And Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And this is the day to choose or to follow him and to believe on him. Getting back to my story of Haiti, how did I get out of Haiti? There I am, and there's 100 people basically in this small room with a tiny little narrow door before me. That is the door I must enter through life. And we waited there for 45 minutes, an hour. Crazy, yelling, hot, sweaty clamor. Finally, the stewardess, flight attendant lady comes in. 5 seats left on the plane. There are 4 of us. She says, yells something in Creole, which I didn't speak Creole. But our guide, Doug, his name is 26 years old. He spoke Creole. He takes his ticket, bumps me in the shoulder, dives over me, and shows his badge, his ticket. And she says, you come with me. Opens the door, and he enters out into freedom. The 3 of us are left there going, ah, what are we doing? We're left in Haiti. What's going to happen to us? We're going to die. Well, it so happened that Doug outside spoke to the flight attendant and said, I got 3 other Americans in there. They don't speak the language. If I leave them here, they're going to perish. They got to come with me. And so she came back in and said, you, and you, come with me. Opened the door, and we entered in and left the rest behind, and we entered into freedom, into life, and got to go to our home country. Do you know that Jesus has done this very thing for us? He actually conquered death for us, died for our sins, entered into heaven through the door, and he says, I'm coming back, and I'm going to take you to myself. That where I am, you will be also. Oh, the world doesn't believe this stuff. The world doesn't get this. The world just goes on thinking nothing's going to happen after death. I tell you, it's a narrow door, and it is hard the way. But what a delight that Jesus has opened it to us, and we, following him, have a delightful path, even though hard, because we have the friendship of the Lord, and we have forgiveness, and we have eternal life granted us even already. For as the heavens are high above the earth, that's how great his steadfast love is toward those who fear him. And he's removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, from the sunrise to the sunset and beyond. So great is his love for you. He gave his son that whoever believes on Jesus should not perish, says God, but have eternal life. Take delight in the Lord, says Jesus, and I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. Now, I want to ask one more question. Do we have a certainty about eternal life? We've heard the gospel, but is this something that we can have confidence in life, such that we don't need to have a fear of death for the rest of our days? Well, the Council of Trent in the Roman Catholic Church says you can't ever be sure, you can't ever know for a fact, but they have the wrong gospel. The Protestants, and one pastor in particular, Horatio Bonar from 1874, said such things as this. He says, God didn't give us this gospel just to secure us for a life hereafter, but to give us confidence and certainty in this life as well. If we had a gospel given to us that could not make us sure, then we would be forever miserable. If we were to hear of such glories and riches in the kingdom to come and always be left in doubt as to whether it was ours or not, whether we were pardoned or an unpardoned sinner, we would be forever wretches in this world. What a poor gospel it would be. But in fact, God has given us a gospel by which we may be confident in this day, at this hour, on this morning, sure of your eternal life, and never fear death again in Jesus. Let me put it that to the test. Let me put it you to the test. Let me read you a scripture or two here. You tell me if we can have certainty, and God wants you sure in this life. Paul says we live in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, he promised us ages ago. God never lies, and he promised us eternal life. Can we be sure in Christ? This is the testimony, says John, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son, that person has eternal life. And who has not the Son of God, whoever doesn't have him, doesn't have life. And I write this to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Say the word know. No. That you may know that you have eternal life. Even now, says John. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he'll stand upon the earth, and my eyes will see him, standing on my side and not another. I know that, says Job. Certainty, confidence. sure. And Paul says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, powers, height, depth, I'm sure that nothing in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. We can have a certainty and an assurance because Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? When I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So today we are thankful and rejoice with a great shout of cheer before our King. He's given us not only eternal life, he's given us the certainty that goes along with it, that we'll have eternal life, that we're loved, that we're redeemed, that we're forgiven, we're cherished, we're co-heirs with Christ of all things, and that we may enter that blessed shining city by the gate of Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.